Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Alex Mack once again on Monday, October the... No, actually, this is Tuesday, October 11th, actually. You know, we just had Indigenous Peoples Day, and I had the day off of work yesterday. And so, I kind of said, you know what, screw it. I'll just record tomorrow, you know. I'm kind of glad I did, too, because I ended up getting this, like, really annoying, like, start of a migraine. And so, I was like, yeah, okay. Good call, Chief. Anyway, what am I talking about? So, yeah, say this is week six of Maniacal Books Weekly. I am Alex Mack, the creator, author, owner of Maniacal Books. And thank you for checking me out for another week. I really appreciate it. Yeah, this should be a pretty fun one. You know, I am full on in the spirit of Halloween. We're in one of my favorite times of year, one of my favorite months, October. I love horror. I've always been a huge fan of horror. And so it's just giving me a nice excuse to, you know, indulge for a bit. Okay, yeah. As I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted by my alarm system. You can check out the podcast pretty much everywhere you can. Everywhere you find podcasts, actually, and all 100% free. Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Republic, and now on iHeartRadio. Yep. So, yeah, just click on there. Check me out. You know, give me some ratings. Download some episodes. And let me just, you know, hear me drone on for a little bit, you know, while you're, you know, out running errands, stuck in traffic, walking the dog, you know, having some me time on the toilet, any and all of the above. And also stop by and check out the YouTube channel where you see the live reviews that I do on here. You see the you can see the video versions of those. And, you know, stop by, subscribe, like, and, you know, help me grow this thing here. And so, yeah, so this week I have a couple of horror reviews for you. I have all horror flicks this week, and it's probably going to be like this for the next couple of weeks as well. You know, I'm going all in, baby. I'm getting very demented. I'm getting in my creepy horror bag here. Well, yeah, I have some fun ones here too. I have a old grindhouse horror movie called Demonoid. I saw a really great flick on Disney Plus called Werewolf by Night, and I also saw the horror movie X that came out a few months ago and heard some good things about that, so I finally checked that out. And yep, that is all coming to you. And once again, you can see the video reviews on YouTube. And so, yeah, okay, without further ado, let's kick this thing off, and let's start off by going to the box office. There is one movie I'm hoping is still in there, but I don't know, let's see. So this is for the box office numbers for the weekend of October 10th. Actually, no, that's Monday. The weekend for October 7th, right? Hold on. Yeah, okay, yep. Delete that. Strike that from the record. No, so for the box office numbers for the weekend of October 7th, 2022, it is Smile holding strong at number one. Yes, I cannot wait to see that movie. And it being number one 2 weekends in a row, meaning I am going to have to see that movie because it is not going to be on any streaming platforms anytime soon. But yes, it's holding strong at 21.1 million. This is the last time a horror movie brought that in, and I guess this is the perfect storm, because not only is the trailer is amazing, and I really hope it don't show like too much of the movie or like the best parts of the movie, a la The Black Mask. That, like, the trailer for The Black Mask was the entire movie, basically, you kind of didn't even really need to see the movie. They showed you everything in the trailer, but that was a really good trailer. And yeah, I cannot wait to see that. God, I'm like, they're gonna make me. I got my third booster. I got the new booster, so I don't know. I just wear bulletproof vests, I guess. Just gonna go out into the pandemonium and sit in the movie theater. That's the true horror. Like I don't need a horror movie. Just living day to day is a horror movie. Anyway, beyond that. So number two, what was number two? Lyle Crocodile. Oh, that new family movie that came out is a number two at 13.2 million. That looks cute. Definitely gonna wait that to hit a platform to stream it though. Number three is Amsterdam. You know, I honestly forgot about this, even though they've been advertising the hell out of this. It's on like every commercial break of whatever you're watching, and it looks really good. They got a ton of just quality actors in this, and it looks good. But wow, it's only number three. This is Disney Studio too. Oh, I didn't know that was a Disney movie. Actually, that does not ring as a Disney movie. Maybe that's why it's number three. Because it looks good. It looks really, really good. I thought that would have made a. I mean, it's number three, so it's not bad, but I just thought it would make a bigger dent. It got beat out by that stupid crocodile family movie thing. That ain't good. But, yeah, wow. So number three at 7.2 million. Well, Smile is kicking everyone's behind right now. God, I gotta see that movie. Like that's it. I just gotta go out and see it. What's number four? Is The Woman, this is the movie I was waiting on. I was hoping it was still in here. The Woman King. The Woman King. Holding strong. Number four. All right, at 5.9 million. Yeah, that's good. I gotta make it out to see that as well. And that's still being in the top five, honestly, in the box office means that's not gonna hit a platform anytime soon either. So, hey, I got my booster, so I should be all right. Don't Worry, Darling is number five at a 4 million. Avatar. Oh, this is insane. Avatar is still in the top 10. It's not even out yet. It's pre-selling movies. That's a movie I'm not going to. Jeez. I think it comes out in Christmas. And that is 3.1 million. 3.1 million. They sold 3.1 millions worth movie tickets. And the movie's not even out yet. There's no movie to go see. But they still sold over $3 million in tickets in a weekend. Let that sink in. Oh, and by the way, that's another Disney movie. It's a Disney flick. Mickey coming for us. All hail King Mickey, our mouse overlord. That mouse is making too much money. Barbarian number seven. Yeah, the other horror movie that I was really interested in, really want to see that. Bros is number eight. I don't know what that is actually. So what was it? Barbarian was a 2.5, and Bros is 2.4. Top Gun. This is getting annoying at this point. Still in the top 10. It's okay. Okay, either is that good. Well, there really was nothing else to see for a long time in the movies. I think I'd go with the latter, but I don't know. People have seen it and said it's incredible, and every time they say it, I'm like, how? It's the same. I mean, how many times can you see a jet flying? It. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sure. And on the well, so Top Gun Maverick was nine. Like 900K, and Terrifier 2 is rounding out the top 10 at 805K. I don't even know what Terrifier is. Oh my God. It's that dumb horror movie that was on Netflix forever. It was just like murder simulation. Like it was all it wasn't there was no scares to it. There was no like Yeah, there was nothing to it. It was just a clown murdering a bunch of people. There's no story to it, really. From what I remember, it was some girls were eating at a takeout or something, and there was some guy that in a clown costume that was sitting there, and I guess he got their attention, and he just stalked them the whole night, and they ended up running into a building or something, and he just kind of murdered everybody in sight, and I was just sitting there like, this is what people have been talking about. There's nothing to this. He's just a murderer. The end. Oh, okay. All right. But yeah. So Terrifier 2. I guess it released this weekend. And made about 805K in 770 theaters. That's pretty good though, actually. That's pretty good numbers for like the indie. That's a very, very indie flick. Very indie, very low budget. So. I mean, yeah, congrats to them though. That's actually really good to be in the top 10 for Terrifier. But again, there it's the is the right time for all of these like weird, crazy horror movies to come out. And so yeah, that's pretty cool. I like it. I like it. There's still a lot of movies I still need to see that's still in the top 10. So they're not going anywhere for at least another month and a half. So yeah, that's cool. That's awesome to see. Okay, so the most read books on Kindle for the week of October 2nd is Fairy Tale by Stephen King is number one, holding strong as he's the king. What else can you say? Number two is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Hey, it's JK. What can you say? The Titans are holding down their spots. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is number three. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is number four. Where the Crawdad Sings by Delia Owens is number five. Again, that's on my short list to read. I keep hearing like nothing but positive about that. Oh my God, this Colleen Hoover chick is on this list as well. With Verity at number six. That she's the queen. Them Chickity Chick books. She is the queen. Number seven is The Ink Black Heart by Robert Galbraith. I look into that. Never heard of that. The cover looks pretty decent. Number eight is Fire and Blood by of course George R. R. Martin. And number nine, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And number 10, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. It's almost not even worth kind of doing these because, God, people just fixate on one author, and that's it's like it's weird. It's like a hive mind almost. Just everybody finds something about one book or one author, and they just clamor. I don't know. Books are weird. It's even weirder to try to sell one. Yeah, okay, so that's our list for the week of October 2nd. Okay, and so now I have about three reviews for you this week, and we're gonna take a quick break, and once we get back, I will go ahead and start the reviews. So I will see you in about 40 seconds.
Travel with me to a dark and isolated farm located deep in the heart of St. Mary's County, Maryland, where the only African-American farmer and his family are being tormented by some thing stalking around their property. Can they survive? Can they protect the farm that is their very livelihood? And can they do it with their sanity intact? Are you in the mood for dark, isolated, rural horror? Are books full of ghastly green goo and reanimated corpses your jam? Then check out Mulch, the eerie inaugural novella from Maniacal Books. Available today on Amazon Kindle and mcsbooks.com.
Okay, and we are back. And you know what? I just had this random thought pop in my head, like, you know, while I was waiting on the break. I was like, I'm slipping. I need to add that Goosebumps theme song to as my ringtone. I started humming some tunes while I was waiting, and yeah, that just randomly kind of popped in my head. Like, oh, I'm slipping. Why haven't I done that yet? Only for Halloween though. Like, only that'll be like my Halloween thing to, like, you know, add that old Goosebumps theme song to it. Like, that show was garbage. Like, the Goosebumps books are way better than the show. But that theme song is epic though. It's just classic. But, okay, I'm rambling. I'm sorry. Here we go. We're gonna just go ahead and get into our reviews here. And as all once again, you know, stop by the YouTube channel. Just search for Maniacal Tube, and you can see these reviews and all the other reviews that I've done, you know, on an actual video. And so, you know, stop by, like the channel, subscribe to the channel, first, and like the videos. I need to get this right. Subscribe to the channel, like the videos, and yeah, try to support your boy as he go on this crazy venture of his. So, without further ado, let's get back to it. Demonoid is a 1981 old grindhouse horror movie starring Samantha Eggers and Stuart Whitman. And this is a movie I came across listening to Quentin Tarantino's podcast. It's called the Video Archives Podcast. Him and Roger Avery, like a producing buddy of his. I think they co-wrote Pulp Fiction together. You know, they got together and they're like talking about old movies and like things that they used to watch or rent out when they were working at a video store together. And it sounded really interesting. And I was like, okay, I have to see this. Because I am a fan of like really kind of schlocky and kind of sort of terrible grindhouse theater. Growing up watching stuff like The Last House on the Left and Maniac and all the Dario Argento movies like Suspiria and Demons. I'm very kind of familiar with these kind of movies, and I kind of seek them out too. Like, there is kind of fun in like finding these like really low budget, low-scaled, barely D cinema kind of movies. Like they're always kind of fun because it's so bad, it's fun in a kind of way. And so I really enjoy these. Okay, so what is this about? So an opportunistic mine owner down in Mexico has stumbled across this mine that has this demonic temple in it. And in the temple, he finds this hand, you know, because workers down in Mexico are spooked, right? Because I think they know that's down there, and so they don't want to go in and work. And so what does the clueless rich white man do? The thing you're not supposed to do, of course. He goes down into, like, deep down into the mine, goes through the damn temple, like, takes out the hand and, like, brings it out, right? And so, like, all the workers are just like, good God, why did you bring it out, you idiot? And they all just like kind of flee and run, leave him with the demonic hand is loose now. And of course, you know who the first victims are. And so that kind of like kicks off the whole thing for the movie. So yeah, so it's kind of like this movie because it's like a demonic left hand, right? And so I'm left-handed. And so the whole time watching this, I'm like, oh, well, I'm toast. Like, I'm useless without my left hand. You know, okay, what do I like about this movie? So again, it's grindhouse cinema. I love it. It's a taste, you know. It is a taste. You gotta have like kind of a taste for these kind of movies to like really get the enjoyment out of them, because again, it's super low budget. So we're talking bad effects, primarily like bad practical effects, right? Because there's no CGI. I mean, this came out in 1981, so CGI was kind of non-existent. There was a little bit, but it was terrible. It was bad. Like, no, usually CGI back in 1981, especially like low budget 1981, is just like, get that the hell out of this movie. What is that? You know, but, and along with that is like bad wardrobe as well. And so you're getting horrible acting, horrible ADR. And it's just, I love it. It's the best. I love this kind of stuff. It's so bad that I get enjoyment out of just kind of laughing at it, in a sense. Okay, and so one of my favorite things about this, like I said, horrible acting, just terrible. And there is a cop in this that gets like his hand possessed or whatever. And so they like take over a doctor's office. And he's supposed to be like, he wants to cut his hand off. He walks in the doctor's office and he has like this straight face on, right? And he's just sitting there. He has his gun like right to the doctor's head. And he's just sitting there like, no drugs, no anesthesia, no funny stuff, just cut. It's just like, what? Like, the director was just like, yep, that's it. There we go. Yep, let's go. keep going. And another, my favorite part in this is, so he's getting his hand cut, as you can see, and he's supposed to be in like excruciating pain, right? But that don't look like pain. I mean, he looks like he's enjoying. I mean, he looks like he's in some beautiful agony, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, nope, I gotta cut that out. It's a family show. But okay, so what I don't like about it is, so I saw this on YouTube. It's somebody uploaded it on YouTube, and it's one of those things, like, it's so old that none of the corporations care, honestly. So it's, you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. The thing is, though, I would try to see if I can find a DVD or a VHS copy of it, because the copy that I saw was so damn dark, I couldn't see half the movie. It was too dark. I couldn't see anything that was going on. And like the beginning, the whole first act is damn near like in a cave. And so like, it's so dark. I could barely see what was happening or what was going on. And also there's some night scenes in here too. And you know, it's so dark. I couldn't even really see what was happening. I tried to adjust my screen a little bit, but after a while I just said, I mean, it's demonoid, whatever. You know what I mean? And another thing that was kind of confusing, like the story in this, and hear me out. It's a D movie. This is Grindhouse Theater. So the story, nobody cares about the story. Nobody who made this movie really cares that much about the story. Right. But it was a thing where like the hand all of a sudden wanted to be attached to Samantha Eggers' hand, and it just came out of left field. Like, I guess maybe because when the hand first got free, it kind of attacked her and her husband, who was in the bed with her. But it, at no point else was it like, oh, we need to attach to her or whatever. It just came out of left field, and it was just like, wait, maybe I missed something because the film was like so damn dark. I didn't see it or missed it. But yeah, it was weird. It was just like, oh, that's what the cop was saying. Like, no, it belongs to, cut it off because it belongs to you. It wants you. And it's just like, where the hell did that come from? like half the movie, the hand was just like possessing random people. And just, it didn't say a damn thing about that lady. But it's a pet peeve. Nobody cares. I kind of feel like an asshole for talking about like plot points in a Grindhouse horror movie. But I don't know. It was just a thing. I don't know. Yeah. So Demonoid, it was fun. I had some good laughs at it. It was fine. They did one thing really well. So like whenever the hand was possessing somebody, they had this really, really kind of eerie shot of like, it was almost like a flashback to like The Exorcist, where you know, that like something would flash on the screen for a second. They had like this demonic figure or idol that would flash on the screen for a second whenever it was possessing somebody. And that was cool. That was actually cool. I was like, oh, you know what? That's actually kind of chilling. You know, that's almost something. I'm sorry. Like, I like this movie. It was fine. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at giving it a 2, but since I kind of enjoyed it, I'd say 3 out of 5. If you're into like just really kind of throwaway, schlocky grindhouse movies, like this could be like the first movie of a double feature you're doing, you know, of like old school grindhouse exploitation type of films. And yeah, it fit right in. It'd be kind of fun. You'd be half paying attention to it, half laughing at it, half doing something else in the background. So, I mean, it serves its purpose. It's fine. 3 out of 5 is fine. It's cool. Werewolf by Night is a 2022 TV movie, actually. It's like a throwback, like old school TV movie special that used to air on like NBC and CBS and stuff. Streaming on the Disney Plus app, it is starring Gael Garcia Bernal and Laura Donnelly. So yeah, this was a surprise to me. So I saw this on the app, you know, they were advertising it on the app, and you know, I instantly saw it and was just like, okay, yeah, I'm in. Like, this looks interesting. So I avoided everything. I didn't look at any trailers. I avoided anything that a-holes would have tried to spoil on Twitter or Facebook or something like that. I went in completely clean. I didn't want to see or know anything before watching it. And I'm really glad I did that too. Yeah, so I didn't know that it was going to have that. The whole kickoff to this is like that old school, like NBC, like, you know, Monday night special presentation that used to go on back in the day. I am just old enough to like have seen that on TV. I remember like the old school kind of graphics, stuff that was like cut out kind of like from like the early 80s. Because it was actually still a thing. Nobody really watches TV nowadays, so I don't even know if they still do it though. I doubt it, because I mean, nobody watches TV. But yeah, it was really cool to see that, it instantly took me back to like being a kid and like hearing the music and seeing like the scrawl and all that. It was cool. I really liked that, and it kind of kicked off the whole kind of like nostalgia thing for me, because I love what they did with this. I absolutely love like the whole going back to the early like 40s and 50s monster movie style, like the Universal Pictures monster movies, you know, style that they did here was dead on, and it was perfect. And it didn't come across as like a parody or anything. It had just like the right care and craft to it, where it was like a straight homage to back in those days. Like they really killed that. Yeah, I love the entire thing is shot in black and white, pretty much the entire thing. Like it shifts to color like towards the end, like right before it goes off. But yeah, the choice for black and white, they have that old kind of scratchy film grain filter on it, you know, and that really went like a long way to me. It reminds me of like watching like stuff my mom and dad would introduce me to, you know, back in the day, or back when I was like, back in the day, what am I, like 100? but no, like when I was a kid, like my mom and dad would introduce me to like a bunch of like the older stuff that they used to watch, like when they were kids, you know, and their parents introduced them to that stuff, you know, and it took me back to that. And a lot of times, like, I love the way they did it, because a lot of times I was just waiting for like Vincent Price to like come out of nowhere and like just start like narrating you into the scene with his like, you know, just classic voice, you know. It really put me in the mood for that. Like I was like, oh, this is actually really awesome. I'm like really into this immediately, you know. Yeah, even down to like they have the cigarette burns in the corner of the film, like you know, as if like it's switching over to another reel of film, you know. And it was just like little touches like that that it's, I don't know, it kind of went a long way to me. Like, I mean, look at me, I'm graying, okay, so I'm getting old, I'm appreciating the elder times a bit more, you know. Yeah, it's like the whole presentation kind of like reminded me of, you know, a time before everything was digital. You know, it really kind of kicked off like a huge kind of nostalgia for me. Okay, I'm going on and on and on. But okay, what is it about? Let me get to like what this is about. So this is, I'm not sure what the time period is in this. Their style of, you know, directing this kind of like throws off the time period and it being all in black and white. So I'm not sure what, I'm guessing maybe the 50s, early 60s or something like that. But it's a group of monster hunters are called to a gathering to like a fallen leader, like a, I don't know, a group leader, a cult leader or something like that. In honor of that guy, they're all going on to like this huge, like this big grand hunt where they have to find the Bloodstone. And the Bloodstone was like this prized possession there. And so it's being attached to this huge monster or something that's like on the ground somewhere. And so all the hunters that are gathered there are kind of tasked with hunting the monster. And also like with a special twist of like it's every man for himself. So like everything is game basically. So the hunters are not only hunting the monsters, they're kind of hunting each other in the process. And like whoever survives basically gets the Bloodstone and I don't know, lives for another 1,000 years or something. I don't know. That's not in the movie. I just added that. What I like about it, I think I already said what I like about it. I couldn't contain it. I was just gushing it forth. But yeah, I like all of that in the movie. It really brought me back, especially this time of year too. I think that helped kind of win me over too, because I'm actively looking for like, you know, new stuff like that to get me in the Halloween spirit and things like that. And so I love it. It was really great. One thing I really like about it is Mickey's getting a little violent. I didn't think I would see something like this on the Mickey Mouse app, but okay, all right, yeah, I see you. Nah, like, yeah, okay, let's go, man. Like, yeah, I like it. It was I never would think that like there'd be like gratuitous blood splatter on the camera lens, you know, and that's kind of like symbolizing that we're just being covered with blood on something on the Disney Plus app. I was cool. I kind of like sat up a bit, like, oh, this is, do they know? Another thing I really like about it is a man thing. So I didn't watch any trailers or anything, so I'm not sure if he was in any of the trailers or any of the like the posters or anything, but Man Thing is in this. I gotta say, I didn't see that coming. That caught me way out of left field. I did not expect that. Man Thing, I have Man Thing in the show. Like that's crazy to me. Like who would have thought? Like these little like sub characters in the Marvel universe, like in the comic books, are kind of like coming out in the MCU now. And that's, I loved it, man. And one thing about Man Thing, I'm not that up on Man Thing, but he's brutal. Like he was killing the hell out of people in this. I was like, oh geez. Cause I mean, so Man Thing is like the Marvel's version of Swamp Thing. And while I like Swamp Thing, like I prefer Swamp Thing, but Man Thing is cool. And he was, I think they, when they created him, he was going for that terrifying outside, but inside he's like really kind of docile and almost kind of toddler like. But yeah, I didn't know he had those kind of powers. Like he melted people. I'm like, whoa, like, oh damn, okay. What I don't like, man, I would be nitpicking. This is a nitpick, honestly, because there's not much I don't like about this. They had this really dumb animatronic in here, which was like, I guess the idea was to be that they took the corpse of the leader or the guy that they're honoring and they took his corpse and made him like a Disney World animatronic. It was just like, okay, I guess. But I don't know. That's the nitpick, though. That's the nitpick. And with that being said, 5 out of 5. Like, yeah, it was awesome. It was amazing. I totally dug it. And as soon as I'm finished this, I'm going to go watch it again. It was that good. I liked it. It was like my surprise of the month so far. So, yeah. Werewolf by Night, 5 out of 5. It's cool. I got so into it, I forgot to put my man thing picture up. Yeah, so that's how much I liked it. X is an A24 produced horror movie. It came out earlier this year in 2022. It is starring Mia Goth, Scott Henderson, who most people probably remember from The Ring. He was the guy that the girl came out of the TV on at the end of the movie. So yeah, it was like really fun seeing him in this. And Kid Cudi. Yeah, so this is, and most people kind of know now that there's a prequel movie to this that's out already called Pearl. And, you know, there's supposed to be stuff in this movie that's supposed to, I guess, supposed to be answered in Pearl, in, like, the prequel. I do plan on seeing that at some point, maybe in, like, a week or two. Because I really want to kind of, like, tie the story in a bit. Yeah, and it was also directed by Ty West. I'm sorry, it was written and directed by Ty West, who was kind of like a veteran horror director at this point. He did one of my favorite like low budget horror movies is a VHS that came out several years ago. He did one of the more chilling segments in it. So like VHS is like a found footage type of movie. The segment he did in it was pretty chilling. It was this couple, the seemingly happy couple that went on a honeymoon. You know, they went out to, the honeymoon was to the Rockies or something like that. And I won't spoil it. I'll let you see it, you know, so you can like find out what's going on. Okay, so what is X about? So it is summer in 1979 in Houston, Texas. And there's a bunch of, you know, ambitious filmmakers who are setting out to make this really kind of, you know, grand avant-garde film. And they're trying, and so they found this remote house out in the middle of nowhere that's on the property of an elderly couple. And so like the house is kind of like on the opposite side of the property. And so they, you know, secretly trying to film their movie there, you know, without letting the elderly couple know. But unbeknownst to the elderly couple, the movie that they are trying to make is a porno. Yep. And also the elderly people have a bunch of bizarre secrets that they're trying to keep from, you know, those guys making the movies. And so, yeah, there's what I like about this. There's a lot to like here. It's a kind of fun slasher. There's a lot of differences in this than like your typical, you know, slasher. But the thing I like the most about this is, like, there is a bit of a deeper story with this. And that's why I'm really interested to see Pearl at some point, too. The elderly couple, or with the older lady in here, who actually, I have to shout her out, too, while I'm in the what I like part about the video. So, like, the old couple in here are young actors who are, like, put in old makeup. And, you know, told to act like older people, which typically is disastrous. I typically never like when they do that in movies. A lot of times it's like if I tell my 4-year-old daughter to, like, you know, act like an old person, you know, that what she does is typically the same thing the actors will do on screen. But no, but I gotta say Jenna Ortega and Steven Urey, I think his name is, they killed that part. Like they really did like a really good job. It wasn't hokey. It wasn't over the top. You know, it was like, yeah, they did a really good job in that with, you know, the young people playing older people in here. It's probably like one of the best things of that category that I've seen in a minute. But with that saying, like there's some themes in here that is actually pretty intriguing. Like, you know, the older lady, you know, I really get the feel that she just wants to be satisfied, honestly. Probably been some decades, you know, since she's been satisfied. But I think more than that, she, you know, it's more so like the regret she kind of feels from, you know, not doing things that she thought she would have done or would have liked to done. And now she's kind of like too old to do them or to, you know, to enjoy life the way that she wants to, you know. And I think that's something there. Like, there really is something there. Like, again, I'm starting to gray, I'm getting older, I'm in my like early 40s, so I'm kind of in a place where I can kind of identify with that. Like, I'm kind of in that space where like I can like identify like some regrets or mistakes I made, you know, in the past. But, you know, I'm still in a state where I'm still old enough to like go at it and like go out there and still do what I want to do and like get what I want to get. But like, you know, when you're that, you know, much in your senior years and, you know, you're still craving for experience, all these different things, that's like a really good theme in here that they hinted at. But then, like, you know, we have to push that aside and start believing that a bunch of like old geriatric people are like out here killing people. It's a movie. At the end of the day, it's a movie. But, you know, that's definitely the weakest part of it. But with that being said, there are some genuinely eerie, creepy, gross out parts to this too. Yeah, the scene here with her in the bedroom is actually like, yeah, it is kind of skin crawly. It really is. Like, that was one of the highlights of the movie. It was really fun to see that. And just to see how twisted these old people are, you know. I mean, because I was saying that we're supposed to like believe that a bunch of like old geriatric people that could barely stand up damn near are supposed to be out the ones that like offing all these people. There's some things there where, like, you know, they're older, so, you know, your defense is down, you know what I mean? So they can kind of get the drop on you. Because you're not suspected. They're older people, you know. So, but yeah, that was good. But I mean, at some point, it's like, all right, come on, man. Like, get these old ass, get these old people the hell up out of here. Come on, yo. Yeah. So I mean, that's one of the things I don't like about the movie. It's at a certain point, like after about like the what, fourth or fifth kill, it's just kind of like, come on, son. I'm beating some old man's ass out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, there ain't no, at a certain point, it's just like, look, all right, enough. Sit your old ass down. But that was, I mean, it was, it was well acted. It was a fun movie to go through. You know, and again, they're shooting a porno. So, I mean, I mentioned Kid Cudi is in here too. And, you know, I know of his music. I'm not like that big up on him. I'm not that familiar with like a lot of his music, but I'm a little too familiar with Kid Cudi, more so than I want to be. You know what I'm saying? But no, he was actually really damn good in this. It took me by surprise. Like, I've seen him pop up in a couple of movies here and there, but if, like, judging from this, 'cause this is the only thing I've seen him in though. But yeah, he was actually like really damn good in this. Like, I was like, okay. Okay, and he was going in, if you know what I mean. But yeah, X, I can give this a solid 4 out of 5. It was really good, kind of old school slasher, but, you know, with a kind of like twist on it. But the thing I hate the most is that, like, they had something there, but they didn't go that deep with it. They just, you know, it turned into like just a complete old school slasher. Yeah, 4 out of 5. X, dope. Okay, and there we have it. Another week in the bag, week 6. And yeah, thank you for checking me out and making it this far into the show. And as always, you know, check me out everywhere you can get podcasts, you know, for absolutely free. for nothing at all, for zero on the dollar, or rate the show, download it, and you know, just listen to me blab on. You know why you got some a free moment or some time to kill, and you know, stop by the YouTube channel, Maniacal Tube on YouTube, and you know, subscribe to the channel, and hit the like button, and also stop by MCSBooks.com, and stop by the bookstore and pick up a copy of Mulch, which is it's a rural horror, which is right on brand for this time of year. And a bunch of other goodies that's in there, and you know, check out the show every Friday. We are uploads every Friday, like crack of dawn, early in the mornings, and you know, I will see you next week. Peace.